Let's now attend to God's Word. I'll read a small portion from Acts chapter 17. And I'll read verses 11 through 15 of Acts chapter 17. Verses 11 through 15, let us hear God's precious, wonderful word, word above all others. Beginning Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they gathered also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. May God bless his precious word, this portion of it, to our hearts and minds. Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful for the comfort in which we dwell now, to be able to pay attention better to the things that matter most. Word of God in our lives, Lord, you in our lives. Praise and thank you for bringing us here. In your name, amen. God is pleased to use the preaching of his word to work faith, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God being preached, right? Because in that same context, the apostle in Romans chapter 10 tells us that who can preach, or who can hear the word without a preacher? And who can preach unless he's sent, ordained by God? Okay, so we're talking about something that is remarkable among men, that is oftentimes not appreciated much, certainly by the world. It's foolishness to them. But even we Christians can do a lot better in appreciating the means of grace, the means that God provides for us to grow, for us to be saved and also sanctified. And that is mainly the preaching of the word, prayer, the preaching of the word, and the sacraments. Means of grace. Now, it pleases God to use weak, frail, sinful, and in some cases old men to do this. Why does he do that? Yeah, that's so no one can boast in his presence. Look at this guy. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I'm more intelligent. I'm not that old. I'm a lot better than he is. Why aren't I? So God does use that to humble us. Praise his name. But also, he wants us to learn to take your focus off yourself and off the man and put it on to Christ. You don't focus on the under shepherd. Focus on the shepherd. Focus on Jesus. Not on the man. The man's nothing. Look at him. Silly.
That's why God does it. You understand that.
God declares that the preaching of Christ crucified is the power and the wisdom of God, according to the apostle teaching and preaching to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24. But beside that, and I don't mean to push it aside, the preaching is magnificent. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has installed in the earth, whereby we may be saved and sanctified. But what is of great importance, let's say, it makes it all worthwhile, all understandable, is the attitude of the people. That is where the rubber meets the road. We understand the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is perspicuous. It's clear. It's lovely. We understand that. Intellectually, we do. And we understand that the preacher is not so great. But we're not to worry about that because it's Christ. We understand all that. But if our attitude is poor, if we have a wrong attitude, doesn't matter. All that stuff goes way over your head. It just travels right by you. I don't care how young you are or old you are. You might be young and say, I can't understand everything he's talking about. Or, I'm more interested in other things. Shame on you. And if you're older and you say, I've heard this before, I've had enough of this, shame on you. Attitude. And this is what we have in our text. We find in our text, chapter 17, verse 11. These, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Because of that, many believed. And that's what I want to talk about for the rest of the morning now and into the afternoon, just a little bit. I want to talk about Paul and the Bereans. I want to speak on the receiving the word as Bereans. And finally, I want to speak on nobility. These were more noble. Noble Bereans. Those three things. Simple, right? All from the text. All from the scripture. Now, here at this point, Paul's on his second missionary journey. So that's being reported. According to the end of chapter 16, Paul and Silas were escorted out of Philippi. From Philippi, they enter into Thessalonica. But there, they only stay for about 3 weeks. Why? Because the Jews hired some crewed and lewd and base fellows to stir up trouble for Paul and Silas and all, the gospel cause. So they venture on after that short period of time in Thessalonica, 3 weeks, to the nearby city of Berea. And Paul, after we're told in verse 2, as his manner was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jews were there. And he preached. And what he did is, according to verse 2, he preached from the Scriptures, out of the Scriptures. He put forth the Word of God from the Scriptures. And what? Because they were Jews, mainly Jews, a Jewish audience, he focused on the Messiah and showing from the Scriptures of the Old Testament that Messiah was to come, he was to suffer, die, rise again on the third day. And so that's what he was doing there in Berea, explaining, alleging, that means putting forth, expositing, bringing the Scriptures to bear on them, and especially of Christ being the Messiah, suffering, dying, rising on the third day, all from the Scriptures. Now the Bereans, listening to this, were ready students. They were students of the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures, talking about now, right? And they read them, and they rehearsed them, and they knew them well. They studied daily the Scriptures, not to gain a degree or diploma of any kind, not to gain any kind of recognition from others, but because they were driven, as Christ said, by a hungering and a thirsting after the Word of God. They wanted to find out from the Scriptures what Paul was talking about, that their sins were forgiven. They realized, these Bereans, that they were sinners and that they wanted not only for themselves to find salvation from their dastardly deeds and their terrible thoughts and the words that often come out of our mouths and their mouths as well that are not too profitable. They wanted to find salvation not only for themselves but for their infants and their children as well. In fact, they were like the parents that came up to Jesus against the disciples' interruptions and wanted Jesus to bless their children. These Bereans were like that. Notice that the Bereans daily searched the Scriptures. But that did not minimize when they heard the Apostle Paul preach. That did not minimize their desire to listen carefully and hear what he had to say. Well, I already know that. I've already studied that. I know the Scriptures. No. It made them listen better. They gave their full attention to the Apostle Paul, right? They received not just him, but his word. They received. They took it in. They were eager. They were receptive. They were careful. What studying did for them, what being students of the Bible did for them, is it made them more attentive, better listeners. Not worse. They didn't have the kind of attitude that some people develop who think they know more than others. And perhaps about some things, maybe many things they do. But they wanted more knowledge, more assurance from God's holy word that all their sins were forgiven.
and that they were found right in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. Couldn't tell them enough. Couldn't say it long enough. You couldn't spend too much time rehearsing it over and over again. Beautiful things of God, the truths of God. So let's get into this receiving of the Word of God. How did the Bereans receive the Word of God? First, they had, the Scripture tells us here in this verse 11, with a readiness of mind. You know what that means, readiness? What the Greek is implying there? What the Greek is implying by readiness means eagerness, willingness. It means, in a word, enthusiastically. They were enthusiastic to hear the way. It was on the edge of the seat, ready to hear what was to be said from the Word of God. They couldn't wait. See what I mean by attitude? They came that way before they heard a word. They had a readiness of mind, the attitude, built in, as it were. In other words, they didn't come to church, or we could say church for us today. They didn't gather together at the synagogue sort of grudgingly, complaining about the weather, complaining about the length of the service, that it goes on and it repeats. And they didn't have that kind of attitude at all. They were eager, ready, willing, enthusiastic to hear, and over again, what they already knew, and some of what they didn't. That was a Berean. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was enthusiastic in his preaching. No doubt he was enthusiastic in his preaching. Paul had a heart for the Word of God, right? He was willing to die for the cause of Christ. He was beat to the point of death, whipped a number of times, left for dead at the outskirts of the city, comes back after he recuperates, he comes back and does it again. Talk about attitude, right? Not quitting, not giving up, not wanting this to be over. No way. A readiness of mind, hungering and thirsting to hear, even once again, in Christ, who fulfills the Scriptures, the Old Testaments, the prophets' teachings, that all your sins are forgiven. You needn't burden, you needn't beat yourself over and over again over your sins. They're all gone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sins left a crimson stone. He's washed it white as snow. I want to hear that. Readiness of mind. Enthusiastic. And because of that, because they had the right attitude, many believed. We're told in verse 12, right? It follows. And many believed. Men, women. Probably some girls and boys. Many believe. Secondly, the Bereans
enthusiastically receiving the word of God,
had a critical mind. Oh, yes. They were critical. They searched the scripture, comparing scripture with scripture, making certain that the things they heard were true. Now, there are two types of critical, right? There's bad critical, and there's good critical. What's bad critical? What's bad critical? You know what bad critical is, right?
Judgmental. Fault finding. Searching for error.
Expecting something to go wrong with this guy.
That's bad critical, right? That's a bad attitude. Well, that's not what the Bereans were. They were good critical. In other words, studying the scriptures, knowing the scriptures, wanting to know more, being driven back to the scriptures. They made sure and certain that what they were hearing was true because they believed that it was the word of God that they were hearing. They didn't question that. They didn't you have to prove that this is the Bible is true and it's clear. And it's, no, they knew all that. What they wanted to hear was more. They wanted to hear more of this truth. They wanted Scripture being compared to Scripture, expounded to them so that they were even clearer. It was better to them. And so studying, being students of the Word, made them critical in the good way. That they didn't want to hear nothing but the truth. You give me the Word of God, and I will love you for it. They weren't followers of men. They were followers of God and the Word and His Word. But if you bring me the Word of God, I will love you for it. I will go to the mat for you because you bring me the Word of God. And you know what the result is? What God says in His Word. Apostle Paul, in verse 11, these were more noble. They were noble. The Bereans were considered noble. You know what the word noble means in the context? It means well-born. Literally, that's what it means. The Bereans were well born. What a wonderful thing. Well born. They had a quality of excellence, worthy of admiration. Course of their mind, course of their attitude. Because they listened carefully. They were willing to receive the word, embrace the word, trust it with all that is in them, all that was in them. And hold on to it for dear life. Nobility in the scripture is a spiritual quality, obviously. And it arises from the enthusiastic reception of the Word of God. That's how you become a nobleman or a noble woman in God's sight.
You are enthusiastic about the Word of God. Not about the man that's bringing you, because you know a lot of people like personalities, and we like this guy better than that guy, and so we're ready to listen to him, but not necessarily to that guy, because you know that's not nobility. That's being a follower of man. That's pitiful. But whoever it is, in this case the Apostle Paul, who had all kinds of quirks, thorn in the flesh that was obvious, probably not so very good looking at all, some of the drawings I've seen. But boy, could he preach the truth. An enthusiastic reception of the Word of God brings nobility. Person that is noble in God's sight is not noble because he's been born and baptized in a certain church. Nobility has nothing to do with the size of the church, the building, the bank account. Nothing whatsoever to do with any of that. Has to do with being born again. A child of the King. A prince, a princess, royalty. Being children of the sovereign King. That's nobility. Being born into the family of God, the royal family of God. And so, brothers and sisters, what kind of preacher do we want? The kind that opens and alleges to us, puts forth, brings forth the Word of God. That's the kind of preacher, whomever it may be, that we want to hear. We're not into personalities. Because, you know, I think a lot of people have stunningly poor personalities that are in the pulpit and elders and deacons. Stunningly poor. No wonder why they offend all kinds of people. Because people are into that kind of thing. Oh, what a sweetheart she is. Or what a handsome, nice, gentle man. All that junk that exerts itself upon us and poisons our minds and blinds us to what really matters. But we are petty people, aren't we? Someone rubs me the wrong way, I'm going to rub him back the wrong way. I'm not going to like him for a long, long time, perhaps forever. Petty, right? We all are. We all are petty. We got to jettison that kind of thing. That's not a Berean, right? That's not an attitude. And by the way, so we want the preacher that preaches the truth. Doesn't shy away from, will tell us what we need to hear. Yeah, try to do it in as nice a way as possible. But some things, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not nice when you have to say, hey, look, you're wrong. And you have to repent and turn away from this bad attitude that you have for so long. And your petty, pathetic way of interacting with people. How do you say that nicely? Well, from New York, you just don't. You just say it like it is. What about Bereans? We're all to be We want to be noble, right, before God. We want to be as Bereans. So that means we have to be the kind of people that study the Word, that are applying it to our lives on a daily basis, that come and want to receive the Word, more of the Word, that are ready to listen to whatever it is from the Word that we need to hear. And we need to hear everything. We want to have the right kind of attitude. Yes, we want to be critical. We don't want to be followers of men or man. We want to compare Scripture with Scripture, and if it's true, it's the height of our day. The height of my week is today. Because the Word of God is uppermost on my mind. And I want to do the best I want to be the best I can be for God and for His people. That's my attitude. I fail. And your attitude is, I want to be the best I can be for God. And I want to listen. And I want to learn. And I want to take it home. And I want to apply it. And I want to do my best to go through the Scripture and study daily. And come back and do it again and again. I want to have a great attitude. A good attitude. Yeah, I fail. But I want to do better. I want to live up to my name. A nobleman. A noble woman. A man, a woman of God. A Christian. That's what I want to be. Especially when I'm listening to the Word of God and worshiping on the Lord's Day. I want to be found. I want to be looking forward to hearing from my Lord in just a little while. I feel like I'm closer to heaven now than I've ever been. I want to hear from my God. Well done, my good and faithful servant, my noble Berean. Enter into my joy forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, lead us in the everlasting way for thy great name's sake. We have heard, help us to hear some more. And yes, give us over. If we're preaching and teaching like Paul, be enthusiastic over the Word. If we are listening like the Berean, ready, careful, critical in the good way, with a good spiritual, noble. A nobleman, a noble woman. Bless us in the inner man, we pray in His name. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's, in closing, sing a final hymn, hymn 146. Let's rise up to sing this hymn. 146.